Meet Natural Cycles, the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app that's built around your body. The Natural Cycles app pinpoints your fertile days by tracking shifts in your temperature, so you can plan or prevent pregnancy naturally. It's easy to use. Simply take your temperature in the morning with our free Bluetooth thermometer included with our annual plan, or sync with your Oura Ring or Apple Watch. The app analyzes your data and tells you daily whether it's a fertile or non-fertile day. Natural Cycles is 93% effective with typical use and 98% effective with perfect use. But beyond effective birth control, the app helps you understand your body and cycle better than ever. And unlike some period tracking apps, Natural Cycles provides an advanced data protection program to keep your information private and secure. Ready to go hormone-free? Sign up for the Natural Cycles annual plan and get a free Bluetooth thermometer, plus 15% off your subscription with the code RADIO15 at naturalcycles.com.
97.1 FM Talk. On-demand audio.
Brian Recker filling in for Mark Reardon. Just a couple of years ago, our guest released a book titled Wrestling at the Chase, What Great History Wrestling Has with the City of St. Louis. And today, with the passing of Hulk Hogan at the age of 71, we're going to join now our author, Ed Wheatley. Thank you so much for coming on.
Glad to be back. Glad to be back.
Yeah, I mean, Hulk Hogan spent a lot of time here in St. Louis wrestling, didn't he?
Well, he really did later on. You know, he was like the main big star, and he really shot up the WWF, which became the WWE. But he actually had his start here in St. Louis at Wrestling at the Chase. Now, it was not the Wrestling at the Chase, the Channel 11 that we knew under Sam Muchnick. It happened a year and a half later after Muchnick had retired, and it was coming under, you know, the new ownership of McMahon and things. But he's the guy who really took it off and made it national.
I think that today it's so interesting the way people know Hulk Hogan, because some people know him strictly as a wrestler. Some people know him as an actor. Some people know him as the guy that showed up at the Republican National Convention. Some people know him for his lawsuit because he was on TMZ. I think people have really wide ranging emotions and memories of a guy like this, but he is, I mean, for certain, a pop culture icon.
Well, he really was. I mean, and he kind of stood out in a crowd at 6'7", 300 pounds, but, you know, and there's so many great stories. I'll come back to another great story of Hulk's time in St. Louis, but to answer your question, you know, how did he first get into wrestling? He was a guitar player, and he met up with the Jerry Briscoe and his brother, and they taught him down in the Florida how to become a wrestler using his size and all that. I mean, he was just this nightclub playing guitar player, and he had some interest, and he went to the Briscoes, and they started showing him the ropes, and that set him on his way to, you know, as you said, he was an actor. He really then shot up with Rocky III as Thunder Lips. Remember when Sylvester Stallone picked him up and threw him out of the ring? and it all started coming together. And, you know, he then became such a face. Some of it had to do with that Rocky film episodes and things. But, you know, he's just at 6'7". He would then take on an even bigger giant, and Andre the Giant, who was 7'4". I mean, you know, could you imagine those two guys up in the ring and falling on each other? That shows you some of the athleticism.
Get the leg drop. You don't want to mess around when Hulk Hogan brings out that leg drop.
Hey, Ed, it's Fred Bottomer here. What is it about professional wrestling that captures so many of us and we fondly recall our heroes?
Well, you know, I think, you know, the shtick is very fun. You can root, you know, the real root, I think, is that rooting for bad versus evil or evil versus, you know, you had your faces and your heels, the good guys, the bad guys. And, you know, it was just we wrote about that in the book that you referenced. You know, people fell in love, you know, first back in the days, like at Wrestling at the Chase here in St. Louis, which was, you know, became popular across the country. You just, the thrill of watching the underdog win or the guy you were rooting for. And it was, you know, there wasn't a lot of other TV. There wasn't a lot of other, you know, in St. Louis when KPLR premiered just before, weeks before Wrestling at the Chase came on the air, we only had three television stations in St. Louis. And you got to look at that and answer Fred's question from that concept. There wasn't all this other distraction of entertainment. And this came on. And just to highlight that, do you know during the 50s, there was more revenue, televised revenue came in from wrestling than basketball, baseball, and football combined.
What? Baseball?
Yeah.
What?
All the bars. Well, there wasn't baseball on every night, every day. It was, you know, very seldom. But all these bars had deals where they would show wrestling in the bars, and people fell in love with it.
Wow, that's amazing. What was the story you were going to tell about wrestling at the Chase?
Okay. Not only was wrestling done at the Chase, you know, going back to the 40s, you know, Sam Muchnick would have these matches at Kiel Auditorium, which today is, you know, the Kiel Opera House there, where next to Enterprise Center. And it was one of the biggest stops in the country. And it goes back to Sam Muchnick, and all these people would promote these events going to happen. And Bob Costas had just come to St. Louis and was one of the announcers. And Ann Keefe, if you remember Ann Keefe, was one of the you know, at your service type personnel. So Bob and Ann and Dan Deardorff was on KMOX doing a sports. They had the idea that this big wrestling match, they were going to go all dressed to the nines, you know, to add some legitimacy, because they were going to do ringside reporting on the air for this big event. Hulk Hogan was there, you know, and Hulk's usual attire is, you know, a tank top and, you know, in shorts and his boots. Well, they're dressed, Bob and Dan. Well, first of all, you should see the pictures of the two of them next to each other. It's amazing. You know, Bob's pretty short, Dan's pretty big. They're in top hat with canes and tuxes, and Antifa's dressed up as their mall. Well, they go through the night. It's hilarious. It's a great thing. But afterwards, they're hungry. So they have
Ed Wheatley, how about we play some audio from that? We actually have some audio from the event. Can we listen to some of that? All right, let's play that if we can, Ethan.
The Hulkster asks the crowd if it's time to apply the finishing touches. Off the ropes, and Bobby the Brain Heenan reaches into the ring and upends the Hulkster. Bobby the Brain Heenan now picked up by the Hulkster. The Hulkster holding Heenan overhead. The circulation cut off. Now Orndorff attacks the Hulkster from behind. Heenan is dragged into the fray, and now it's one against two.
Oh, this has happened before, where Bobby the Brain Heenan has been a factor in a wrestling match. Oh, whoa, Orndorff kicking and stomping the referee. Mayhem in the ring.
The referee trying to step in between Orndorff and Hogan, declaring that it's unfair to go two against one, and instead the referee is belted to the mat by Orndorff. And now it's Orndorff and manager against Hulk Hogan. He grasps them both by the hair. Oh. The Hulkster now butts the heads together in Three Stooges style. And both Orndorff and Heenan
and
go to the mat.
The Weasel.
Bobby.
Right in our left.
Bobby the Brain Heenan, in an attempt to escape, grabbed by the pants by Hulk, dragged back into the ring.
Three Stooges style. I love that.
That's great stuff.
You hear him hitting the turnbuckle.
That's why you wonder. Thumb. That's why people love it, you know.
So, Ed, tell us the story. What happened after that match?
So they leave the match. They're hungry. And there's a White Castle down at Manchester in Vandeventer. So 2:30 in the morning, they pull up in the stretch limousine. Dan and Bob, top hats and tuxes. Ann in her mall, you know, evening dress. And the Hulk in his, you know, gym shorts were very high from the knee in those days, in his tank top. And they said there were all these winos just hanging on the corner there, leaning against the White Castle. And here they came out one by one out of this big stretch limousine. And all these people they looked up, you know, winos passed up, half passed out. And they got up and they started running as they all walked into the White Castle. Bob Custis loved to tell that story.
I love it, too. I love that idea. The whole visual of it's 2:30 in the morning, you're pass out drunk, you wake up, and there is Bob Costas, Dan Deardorff, Ann Keefe, and Hulk Hogan.
Yep.
And they pull up in a limo, of all places, of all types of vehicles for a White Castle. I love it.
Yeah, I mean, that's the ultimate. Am I really drunk or what?
Yeah, no one's going to believe you. Go ahead, tell your friends that the next morning. So there I was, passed out with sliders at a White Castle. I wake up and Hulk Hogan standing next to me. Yeah, right.
That's right. So I thought you'd enjoy that story.
I love the wrestling at the Chase and all the different history of these athletes that came through. You know, mm-hmm. I guess when you look at Hulk Hogan as an athlete, the argument was made by someone that he may have been one of the at least biggest athletes in the world, at least at one point in time, most well known. Do you think that's true?
I think it's true. I think, you know, all these guys, as you really study the sport, you know, and it has a shtick, but at the end of the day, they are strong athletes. Can you imagine 500-pound Andre the Giant, as I said, 7'4", doing a body slam on you and taking it, you know?
I'd be gone.
And most of these guys were, you know, real professional football players. In my book, one of my favorite pictures in the book is the early 1950s Green Bay Packers. And there's this humongous, in the very center of the team photo on the bench risers, a guy with number 72.
Meet Natural Cycles, the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app that's built around your body. The Natural Cycles app pinpoints your fertile days by tracking shifts in your temperature, so you can plan or prevent pregnancy naturally. It's easy to use. Simply take your temperature in the morning with our free Bluetooth thermometer included with our annual plan, or sync with your Oura Ring or Apple Watch. The app analyzes your data and tells you daily whether it's a fertile or non-fertile day. Natural Cycles is 93% effective with typical use and 98% effective with perfect use. But beyond effective birth control, the app helps you understand your body and cycle better than ever. And unlike some period tracking apps, Natural Cycles provides an advanced data protection program to keep your information private and secure. Ready to go hormone-free? Sign up for the Natural Cycles annual plan and get a free Bluetooth thermometer, plus 15% off your subscription with the code RADIO15 at naturalcycles.com.
Dick the Bruiser. You know, and he was just massive, and, you know, he got hurt playing for the Packers, and that's how he came into wrestling. But, you know, the Briscoes, they were all star players in football. So, I mean, all these men were extremely athletic for what they did and do. All the ones that you heard, you know, on the air a moment ago, they were athletic. But Hulk, you know, he had that athleticism, but he had that Hollywood shine to him as well. And, you know, when he was there, you knew it, even at 2:30 in the morning.
Yeah, I can't think of any other wrestler that had this pop culture standing before Hulk Hogan was in the movies, television. I really can't think of any.
No. I mean, there were some that had, as you said, kind of a pop star type of thing. Mainly they were local, you know, like Dick the Bruiser. You know, here in the Midwest, we all need Dick the Bruiser, you know. And, you know, you had, you know, Arndorf, or you had, you know, Cowboy Bob Ellis, or, you know, all these guys. But Hulk Hogan was above them. And I don't know, you know, if it really shot him out of the box, you know, when he did that Rocky movie. But, you know, a lot of it always comes back to that's where he got this real start that shot him up into this superstar personality. He was made for Hollywood in his dress, that Fu Manchu, you know, and you know, his bright colors and feathers. It worked.
Yeah. Well, I know Fred would write about him all the time when he was younger.
I did.
I don't know, Ed, if you had, if you knew this, but Fred would actually, he created this newsletter where he would write up summaries of wrestling matches and things, and he had subscribers all across the world, it sounds like.
He had talked to me about that when we were writing the books. You had a big shoebox of cards and all the matches.
Oh, yeah. Right? Yeah, I've got all the matches recorded. Yeah, or not tape recorded, but, you know, I kept track of all of them.
That's great. Yeah. Doing your research.
Definite wrestling nerd.
Yeah.
Yep.
I was.
All right. Well, Ed Wheatley, if people wanted to look up your book or maybe some of the other things you're doing too, where can they go?
Well, you can go to, you know, you can, all the brick and mortar stores, Amazon, all the online venues have all my books. You know, we got a new one out about St. Louis to Cooperstown, all the great players from St. Louis and Cooperstown wrestling. You know, you can go to 9PBS, pull up 9PBS, our Wrestling at the Chase PBS Emmy-nominated movie is out there, too, that you can stream. So go back and revisit all those glory days.
Wow, I don't know if I ever watched that one. That's fantastic. I'm going to have to go back and look at it.
It's a good one. Yeah, you can get it on 9PBS, our local PBS station here. I think you can get it on the national one, too. But if you, I know you can get in there, just type Wrestling at the Chase, and it'll come up. And it's fantastic. Like I said, we got nominated for an Emmy and everything. And it will bring back smiles to your face.
Do you think if Hulk Hogan dropped me with his leg, it would kill me? Like, do you think it would have been a fatal blow for any regular person, not a wrestler?
I wouldn't want it to happen to me, so I'll just leave it at that.
You know, at one point, he told a story to Richard Belzer. Remember the comedian Richard Belzer?
Yeah.
Told a story to Bob Costas that, and he had tape of this. He had Hulk Hogan on, you know, early in both their careers, and he put him in a headlock, and Richard Belzer passed out, fell, hit the ground, got it like a concussion. And oh, yeah. He won a big settlement out of that.
Yeah. That was a case. Remember, John Stossel did some of that.
That's right.
On that ABC mm-hmm. special, and the poor guy got banged up pretty
slapped,
bad.
Didn't
so,
he?
Yeah, I just wouldn't. I would try to be faster than Hulk Hogan. I put it that way. I don't grab you for jewelry.
But all right. Ed Wheatley, local author, and you can find his books online, including Wrestling at the Chase. Go see his documentary as well. Thank you so much for joining us, Ed. We appreciate it.
Anytime you need, call me and we'll be there, buddy.
Good old sports talk, but I'll tell you, Hulk Hogan passing away today at the age of 71 took a lot of people by surprise. Joining us after the break is a partner and managing director at One Private Wealth, based in Chesterfield, and with President Donald Trump visiting the Fed today to take a look at the renovations. What's going on? Are they kissing and making up? Are they good now? Is Jerome Powell and Donald Trump on good terms? Maybe is he thinking about not firing him? Of course, they're next year talking about replacing him. Maybe that could change too. I don't know. Dave Simons joins us after the break. I'm Ryan Recker filling in 97.1 FM Talk.
Get more at 97.1talk.com.